good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's good to be where two or three are gathered in His name. There He is in the midst. Turn to your neighbor and say, there's more than two or three here. He is here. He is here. Amen. So we've been in our series, Increase, and you know, the irony is we're talking about increase, and you might look around and say, well, I don't see the increase, I see a decrease. Well, that's okay, because God is still good. God is still on the throne, amen? We're not going to be moved by what we see. We're not going to be moved by what we feel. We're going to continue to walk by faith and trust in the Lord. We're going to continue to believe God for increase, even if we don't see it, amen? That's what faith is. That faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We're going to continue to believe God for increase this year. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God is good. God is so good. God is faithful. And so far in our series, we talked about moving forward and how David found himself in a place called Ziklag. He had lost his wives and children. They were taken captive. His houses and his men's houses were burned. And yet he had to encourage himself in the Lord. He began to reflect on the goodness and faithfulness of God. He began to think back on those past victories and how God has brought him through those victories. And he began to move forward. Then we talked about growing in financial wisdom. And I'm hearing, you know, just from talking to a few of you, you've applied this to your life and you're seeing some results in your life as you're beginning to tithe, as you're beginning to give unto the Lord, you're seeing God increase financially. And we talked about getting spiritual wisdom. How many guys know that we need spiritual wisdom in our lives? We need divine wisdom. We need His direction in our daily lives. Whenever we wake up on Monday, whenever we wake up on Sunday, we need the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. And so today we want to talk about growing in stature. Growing in stature. So what is that? We're going to look back at our theme verse in Luke 2, verse 52. If we can have that on our screen. It says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God. Amen. How many guys are believing this for your life? That you will increase in wisdom this year, that you will increase in stature, and that you will increase in the favor of the Lord upon your life, upon your family, upon the generations to come, that you will increase and you will not decrease. We're going to declare that over our lives. We will increase and not decrease. Thank you, Lord. He's good. And so just a definition of what is stature. And so when you look in these Strong's Concordance, it gives you several definitions. But the first one, it says this, stature in height and comeliness of stature. In other words, he actually grew and became a man. And so I'm waiting for my young boys to grow in stature and fulfill their role as men. It also means of an attained state, fit for a thing. And then the last definition, it says suitable age for anything. So whenever we first read this verse in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, Jesus was a 12-year-old boy, and he is said to be found in the temple. Of course, he got left at the temple. His parents left him and didn't realize that they had left him until about 3 days later, and like, hey, where's Jesus? So we kind of lost the Son of God, and he's back at the temple, you know, at his father's house, of course. Anyway, so he's a 12-year-old boy at that age, but he is said to be listening to the religious leaders. He is said to be asking questions of the religious leaders. And they were just amazed of the man's understanding, of Jesus' understanding of the scriptures. They're like, wow, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Mary's son? And so they were dumbfounded in the fact that he was just so knowledgeable at the age of 12 years old. And so the very next chapter in the book of Luke tells us that Jesus grew up rather quickly and that he is being baptized by John. And so he's around the age of 30. So you're like, man, what happened from the age of 12 to 30? He's growing in stature and he's growing in wisdom and he's growing in the favor of the Lord. He continues to grow. And so what I want to kind of bring out to you is maybe like a progression of Jesus' life. And what does that look like to grow in stature? Because, you know, we begin this earth as a young baby, and we're not accountable for a whole lot as a young baby, but as we grow older, you know, as we grow older in the Lord, as we talk about spiritual maturity, growing spiritually, what does that look like for our lives? And so what does it look like to grow in stature? Now, for Jesus to grow in stature, it literally meant that he grew, he became a man, but he also grew spiritually. And so we want to look at that this morning. So first thing is that to grow in stature by repenting and being baptized. This is like one of the first steps that we begin to grow in stature. Now we know that Jesus did not sin, so he did not need to repent of any sins, but he was baptized. And he was baptized to show us an example that we need to be baptized. So first and foremost, that we need to repent of our sins and that we need to be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this is a biblical principle, and hopefully all of you in this place have been baptized. If not, we're going to baptize you. We're going to dunk you on the water. We're going to get you filled with the Holy Spirit, because this is part of growing in stature, is that you would be baptized and that you would be filled with the Spirit of God. You cannot make it in this life on your own strength. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And so we believe in baptism. And though we don't do it as often as we would like, we want to change that this year. But we're gonna baptize you. First and foremost, repent of your sins and being baptized. Jesus was the Son of God. And if he did not sin at all, and he walked this earth without sin, and he showed us that we need to be baptized, then we need to be baptized. By his example, we learned that we need to be baptized. So that's one of the first things that we see in Jesus' life, is that he was baptized by his cousin John. All right. And so John was, he was said to be a wild man. You know, he ate locusts and wild honey, and he dressed crazily, but yet he was declaring the way of the Lord. He was saying, there's someone coming who is greater than me, whose shoes I am not even able to hold or to unlatch. He said, there is someone greater. And whenever Jesus pops up on the scene, he's like, this is him. This is the guy I've been talking about. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. Jesus was baptized, so therefore we too need to be baptized. Then, excuse me, this began to really kick off Jesus' ministry in a sense, because at the point that he was baptized, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then immediately after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, this doesn't make a whole lot of sense, right, to us. Like, man, we get filled with the Holy Spirit to get tempted by the devil. Well, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because you will be tempted by the devil. Amen. And so for Jesus, he was filled with the Spirit of God. He was filled with the power of God. And so therefore he finds himself in this place, in the desert, in this wilderness, and he is fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. How many of you guys know that is a long time to fast? I've never done a 40-day fast, like complete food or water. That is a very long time. Maybe one day I'll get there. But I think I would disappear, because there's not much left to me, you know. but anyway, if the Lord is with me, he'll help me. And so I think the next thing is that we grow in stature by overcoming temptation. See, whenever you first get saved, you're filled with the Holy Spirit and everything. You're baptized. But then you still have the tempter who's coming into your life to tempt you in sin, to tempt you to sin, to try to get you to fall and really to really abandon your faith. And so to grow in stature means that you learn to overcome temptation. You learn to overcome sin. You learn to overcome the devil. And the way that Jesus did it was with the Word of God. So every time that the enemy came to Jesus, in fact, you know, imagine if you're hungry, right? And so the devil tempts you. Why don't you just turn the stone into bread? I mean, you're able to do it, right? You're the Son of God. How tempting that would have been for Jesus. Like, man, I'm really hungry right now. It's been 40 days. I can really use a sandwich. You know, but how it was tempting. We must understand the nature of Jesus, how he was tempted just as you and I are tempted, but yet he said no to the devil. He resisted the devil, and the devil had to flee. He began to use the Word of God against the devil. And so as we grow in stature, we're going to learn to overcome temptation by using the Word of God against the devil. The Bible says you rebuke Satan and he will flee from you, that you don't entertain those thoughts, that you rebuke him and he has to go. He has to flee. So here's the thing, too. We must begin to take sin seriously. Because look, in later on in Jesus' life, he would say things like this. He said, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. That's pretty harsh right there. You know, if he said, look, he said, it is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire. That's pretty serious. Jesus takes sin seriously. He goes on to say, and if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. Jesus takes sin seriously. We ought to take sin seriously. And so to grow in stature is to grow in overcoming that temptation. To rebuke the devil and he must flee from your life. To use the word of God. The Bible says in Revelation that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And you begin to testify to the devil, I am saved, I'm delivered, there is no more. The old man has died. Behold, a new man is risen. You begin to testify to the devil next time he begins to tempt you, and you're going to begin to grow in stature. You get one battle, you're successful in one battle, and then the next battle, you're successful in the next battle. Guess what? You're growing in stature. You're growing spiritually. And then the next thing, we turn just a couple of chapters in the book of Luke, and we find Jesus, he's no longer the 12-year-old boy that is listening and asking questions. Now he is teaching in the synagogue. And so I believe this is also is vital for us if we're to grow in stature, that we are to grow in stature by teaching others, by teaching others. Look in Luke 4, chapter 14, verse 19. It says this, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through the surrounding country. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he's not this little boy anymore. He's like, now he is instructing. He is instructing the religious leaders, all those who are in the synagogue. He is teaching them. And we need to get to a point where we're growing in stature where we can begin to teach others. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be on a stage or you're going to be leading a Bible study, but there are people in your life, whether nephews, cousins, aunts, uncles, there is someone in your life that you can teach the word of God to. What has impacted you, you can definitely relay that gospel to someone else. You can begin to teach someone else the things that you have been taught. Amen. And it is important for us as parents that we begin to teach our children. Because if we don't teach our children, guess what? The world's going to teach our children, right? And so we need to teach them the word of God. We need to pour into them godly truth. We need to show them examples. We grow in stature not only to gain wisdom, but ultimately so that we can teach others. Thank you. And so we moving right along in the next verse, in verse 16, it says this. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he was, and as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim to the liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. So even though Jesus is reading this and it's from the prophet Isaiah, he is actually reading this about himself. This was foretold by the prophet Isaiah about the coming Messiah, and Jesus is the Messiah. He's reading this about himself. He said, look, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. How many of you guys know for sure with confidence that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? Do you have that confidence? Are you confident in the fact that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you? So now we see that Jesus is growing in stature. He knows who he is, and he knows his purpose. He knows what God had called him to do and why he was on earth. Do you know your purpose? Do you know what God has called you to do? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now, interesting about this Spirit of the Lord. Last week we talked about how one of the seven spirits of God is the Spirit of wisdom. Another Spirit of God is the Spirit of the Lord. And so we're going to look at, just kind of break this down just for a little while. Spirit, what is spirit? The disposition or influence which feels and governs the soul of anyone. It governs, it influences your soul. It governs your soul. In other words, the Holy Spirit governs who you are. It governs your actions. It governs your decisions and the choices that you make. The Spirit is the efficient source of any power, affection, emotion, desire, and etc. And then you look at the Lord. What is that? This is the title given to God, the Messiah. And so if you put it together, his affections, Jesus' affections, his emotions, his desires were influenced and governed by God. Everything that he was saying was governed by the Holy Spirit. It was governed by God. Are we at that place? Have we grown in stature to the point where our actions, our motives, everything that makes us us, we are governed by the Spirit of God? That's what it means to be. That's what it means to be grown in stature. Are we governed? Are we allowing him to govern our lives, to control our lives, influence our lives, influence our emotions? And what's interesting about this, just as Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You know the same word is used in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8, when it talks about the power that we are given, it says, but you will receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That same power that dwelled in Christ Jesus is alive on the inside of you. You can be endued with the Holy Spirit and with the power of the living God. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all the Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Same word. To grow in stature is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to know that you are anointed, that you're anointed to proclaim good news. Amen. We sang that song earlier. Do you know that you are anointed? Do you know that whenever you go to lay hands on someone, that the power of God can move through you? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you can speak a word into someone's life and that they will be radically changed because it is, you are influenced, you are governed by the Spirit of God who knows all things, who relates all things and governs all things. That you can speak a now word into someone's life and they will be forever changed. Now, he was not only confident in his purpose, but he fulfilled the very thing that he was called to do. Jesus fulfilled his purpose, and so we see this progression. Not only did he know that he was called, but he also fulfilled it. Whenever John was thrown into prison, you know, he's wondering, is Jesus, Lord, are you really the Messiah? Are you really the one that has come, you know, to deliver all of Israel? Look what Jesus tells the messenger. He says, Jesus answered him, go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news preached to them. The exact same thing that we just read, that he declared over himself, this is my purpose, now we're seeing it fulfilled. He said, I am the Messiah, I am the Son of God. Believe me, John, blind eyes are opening, deaf ears are being made open. He fulfilled his purpose. Are you fulfilling the purposes of God in your life? Right now, are you fulfilling the purpose of God in your life right now? I mean, you know that God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of you. I strongly believe that God does not create junk, that God does not create waste, but yet he has a plan and a specific purpose for each and every one of you. Are you fulfilling that purpose right now in your life? Are you allowing God to send you as Jesus was sent? Are you confident that the Holy Spirit is living in you and helping you to accomplish that purpose? And then the last thing I want to talk about is we grow in stature by building a godly legacy. Building a godly legacy. Let's look and continue reading. What was the testimony that Jesus left behind? Let's look at it. In verse 20 it says, and he rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And so they were, again, mesmerized and in awe. They spoke well of Jesus. He had a great testimony. Everywhere he went, people spoke well of him. Wouldn't it be incredible if we were to pass on, you know, like right now, you know, we think about Drew Brees and we think about the Saints. There's a legacy with the man, Drew Brees, right? There, you know, the amount of passing yards and touchdowns that he accomplished, he did a lot with the Saints. But how many of you guys know that that's not going to mean anything in the next life, right? That's not going to mean diddly squat in eternity. It's not going to mean anything. But the legacy that Jesus left behind will continue to remain, right? That his words were gracious and that everywhere he went, that people were healed and people were delivered. Blind eyes were open and the deaf were able to hear. That was a legacy that Jesus began to leave behind. And so we too, as Christians, as believers, we're working on building a legacy. Now, a legacy doesn't happen overnight. Drew Brees wasn't a legend overnight. But it was consistent, being consistent each and every day. Each and every day throwing that ball. Each and every day working on those passing yards. Each and every time that he showed up. It's each and every day that you choose to use gracious words. It's each and every day that you choose to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Each and every day that you begin to leave a legacy behind. A godly legacy where you will be well spoken of. That people will remember the God that you serve because of the way that you served him. What a legacy to leave behind. You know, it says that Jesus rolled up the scroll. And, you know, in this day and age, we would just pretty much drop a mic. I'm not going to drop this. This is too expensive. In other words, to say, I said what I needed to be said, what needed to be said. Everything that needed to be said is said. Boom, drop a mic. Boom, right there. We're not going to do that this morning. But anyway, Jesus, he knew his purpose. He knew that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew that he was anointed by God to fulfill the very purpose that God had for him. Now, you hear other accounts in the Bible. You know, whenever you talk about, like, Jesus' legacy, that there was a blind man who was born blind from the day that he was born. He was born as a blind man. And the most interesting or bizarre miracle that Jesus did is he begins to spit in the ground, and he makes a nice little mud pie, and the Bible says that Jesus anointed his eyes with the mud pie. Now, normally we would anoint people with oil. Jesus anoints his eyes with the mud pie and just smears it all in there and says, now go wash, right? Go wash. Guess what? His eyes were immediately healed whenever he washed. And so the Jews were frustrated, like some of the religious people. They were like, how dare you do this on the Sabbath? How dare you do this? And so they begin to question this guy, this blind guy. They begin to question him about Jesus, and they're just not listening to him. They're just trying to find something wrong with Jesus. But this is what he says about Jesus. He says this. He says, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. One thing I do know is that I was blind, but now I can see. I was blind, but now I can see. What a legacy to leave behind. I don't know what you're talking about, religious leaders, but this man healed my eyes. This man was filled with the power of God. This man knew his purpose to come and to bring, to set at liberty those who were bound, to open up the blind eyes, and he fulfilled his purpose. That's what I do know. What a testimony, what a legacy to leave behind. We grow in stature as we conscientiously make daily decisions to both speak graciously to others as well as demonstrate the love of God through our actions. And just to kind of recap what we talked about this morning, we're going to grow in stature first off by repenting and being baptized. That's first step. That's number one step, that we must repent of our sins and be baptized. We're going to grow in stature as we overcome temptation. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You might say, well, I don't know if I can overcome temptation. But Jesus said, it is finished. I have already come. I have stripped the keys from death, hell, and the grave. He has no power over you. He has no dominion over you. You have been set free. You are no longer a slave to sin. You can overcome temptation because the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. And as you begin to win battle after battle after battle, you are growing in stature. You grow in stature by teaching others what God has taught you. There's someone in your life that you can impact. There's someone that you can teach the Word of God to. There's someone that you can give a scripture here and there and that you can teach their life. You can grow in stature. You grow in stature by fulfilling your purpose. Do you know what your purpose is this morning? Do you know that God has a specific purpose, and are you fulfilling that purpose this morning? And then lastly, we're going to grow in stature by building a godly legacy. That we're going to, day in and day out, we're going to consistently have the character of God. We're going to consistently display the love of God to others. We're going to consistently walk in His love. We're going to leave behind a godly legacy. Heavenly Father, we just come before You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that You are teaching us to grow in stature. Lord, to not just be babies in the Word of God, but Lord, to continue to grow and become the men and women of God You have called us to be, Lord, to fulfill the plans and the purposes, God, that You would have for our lives, to know that we are filled with the Holy Spirit and that we can move in the power, the same power that You moved in, Lord God, to heal blind eyes, to heal the lame, to heal those, God, who are hurting and those who are lost. You have anointed us, God, to preach the good news to those who are poor, to those who lack the truth. God, You have anointed us, oh Lord. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. Help us to know that this morning. Help us to be confident in the fact that, God, You are in the inside of us and that You are wanting to demonstrate Your power through us to reach this dark and dying generation. And we pray, God, as we continue day in and day out to walk in Your love and to allow our words and to allow our actions to line up with Your purpose, God, that we are building a godly legacy, one that will be talked about for generations. God, like Billy Graham, the great Billy Graham, and all these, God, who have gone on before us. But we're still hearing about them. We're still in awe of what they've done because they surrendered their life to You. They said, God, use me in whatever way, God, that You feel suit. Whatever way, Lord, I say yes, Lord. I say yes and amen to Your plans and Your purposes, oh God. I lay down my own plans for my life, God. And I say, God, I'll pick up Yours, what it is that You would have me to do. That's what Jesus did. He said, not my will, but Your will be done. Not my will, but Your will be done, Lord God, in my life. So, Lord, we just thank You for this word. We thank You that You would help us, Lord, to grow in stature each and every day. In the name of Jesus, we give You all the praise and all the glory. And let God's people say, amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. We encourage you. You know, one of the ways, the first way that you can grow in stature, He said, is through repentance and baptism. In 2 weeks from today, Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to have an event called Super Bowl Sunday, and we're going to be showing videos from whoever makes it to the Super Bowl. They're going to have the Christians on there just explaining Jesus, and so you're going to want to invite someone, whoever that is, that doesn't know the Lord, that loves football, bring them out, but then also we are going to be baptizing that Sunday. So in 2 weeks, and I love that He said that, the example of Christ, Jesus did not have to repent. He set an example for us in showing that baptism was just an outward sign of what God had already done on the inside of us. And so if you have never been baptized, or if you've been talking to someone and teaching someone to be baptized in 2 weeks, so next week, or you can go to the welcome desk. You don't really have to sign up. We're going to do it at both services, at the 9:30 and the 11. We're going to try to do that inside. We're trying to get a smaller little tub to have right here so that we can actually do that indoors. But it's going to be in 2 weeks. And so we want to encourage you to really say, you know what, I want to display what God has done on the inside. I want to display that publicly to an outside world. And so if you have any questions about baptism, talk to Pastor Ted. He'll be at the door, or maybe talk to myself. I'll be right here. But we can't wait to do that in 2 weeks and think of who I'm going to invite and also how you're going to pray. So as you walk out the doors, don't say, oh, I'm going to sign up Tuesday. It never happens. That never happens. So just say, I'm going to sign up right now. right now. Everybody say right now. Right now, I'm going to sign up for an hour or two of prayer right now. And so go to the welcome desk and put your name down. I will text you tomorrow and be obnoxious to make sure that you also come to your commitments. And you say, you know what? Because it's such a powerful weapon that we have as we grow in stature and we leave a legacy for those that are coming behind us, that you would pray. And so anyway, sign up for prayer and then baptism in 2 weeks. We love you. High five your neighbor and give them an air five. And we'll see you guys Tuesday for prayer in our Wednesday prayer service.